Hallelujah.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "Things that cause sin will inevitably occur, but woe to the one through whom they occur. It would be better for him if a millstone were put around his neck and he'd be thrown into the sea than for him to cause one of these little ones to sin. Be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. If he wrongs you 7 times in one day and returns to you 7 times saying, 'I'm sorry,' you should forgive him." The apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you." The Gospel of the Lord. Prayed repeatedly today, "Guide me, Lord, along the everlasting way." Today, the Lord gives us that guidance. We begin a week-long prayer through the Book of Wisdom. And the first sentence basically summarizes the book. Love justice. Put yourself in right relationship with God and others, lovingly. Think of the Lord in goodness, that from a good heart pray, and seek him in integrity of heart. Make finding the Lord your goal, and the way that you will do it is not by going in two directions at the same time, but with a wholeness of a heart that seeks to love God with all of it. Those three characteristics, loving, doing the right thing, thinking of the Lord from a good life, seeking him wholly. Not everybody chooses that way. The real way of wisdom, the everlasting way, is to adopt this as the lifestyle. But immediately the Book of Wisdom sets the context. It's a context we'll see likewise in today's gospel. There are those who don't want the way that God illustrates. For perverse counsel separate a man from God and his power, put to the proof, rebukes the foolhardy. A soul that plots evil, wisdom doesn't enter, nor does wisdom dwell in a body under debt of sin. Goes on. There are those who plot evil. Rather than seeking the Lord in integrity of heart, they seek him in a duplicitous heart. Rather than loving justice, they fake it. Rather than thinking about the Lord in goodness, they mouth words to the Lord in evil. So the way that God wants to show is the way of holiness. In the gospel, Jesus picks up where he would have left off on Saturday if we didn't have the feast of St. John Lateran. It was there that the Pharisees and the scribes were criticizing Jesus and plotting in their evil heart. So Jesus today says about scandal, things that cause sin will inevitably occur, but woe to the one through whom they occur. It would be better for him to have a millstone tied around his neck and toss into the depths of the sea. Very challenging path, that if you're going to choose that, you're not going to be following the Lord in the everlasting way. Immediately thereafter, Jesus says, "But if your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. If he wrongs you 7 times a day and 7 times says, 'I apologize,' forgive him." Jesus is doing two things here, but both are interconnected. He wants us totally to be merciful to everybody, But he puts us on guard that some will not be capable of receiving that mercy. That there are those who want to follow him but fail out of weakness. There are those who plot evil. It's not that we don't want to forgive those who plot evil. We do. But we can't because they're resistant. Pope Francis, 6 years ago, preached a homily on this passage in which he said, we have to make a distinction in the faith between sinners and scandalizers, between sinners and, as you would say in other homilies, the corrupt. Sinners are those who fall, but recognize the fall and turn back to the Lord and say, please forgive me, I'm sorry. The scandalizers, the corrupt, get hardened in their sins and they refuse to admit that they're doing anything wrong and even boldly proclaim that what they're doing is actually a good. We see it, for example, in the Anglican minister who was elected yesterday, one of the heads of these abortion groups. She has preached sermons in the past on the holiness of having abortions. This woman is such a scandalizer. She longs to put a collar around her neck, not recognizing that it could turn into a millstone. We see it, for example, in those with hardened hearts toward immigrants who fail to look at them with dignity as brothers and sisters, as Jesus, who was a stranger, and welcome him. They're incapable of receiving mercy until they learn how to love. We sometimes see it in the modern scribes and Pharisees, who as much as they know God's word, don't recognize how they fail to extend it to those who are most in need. In response to this double challenge that the Lord gives, the apostles, recognizing how hard it is to forgive 7 times, not to mention, as Jesus would say elsewhere, 77 times, how hard it is not to engage in conduct that could possibly scandalize others, sometimes obliviously, they cry out, Audace nobis fidem. Increase our faith, Lord. They've grasped that to forgive and forgive and forgive as God forgives requires faith. They likewise recognize that in order to follow the Lord along the everlasting way, they need that faith too, so that they, by their example, can lead others to follow Jesus on that same path rather than divert by their own fallenness, which, rather than becoming a source of contrition, becomes a motivation of pride. Increase our faith. Jesus gives us an extraordinary promise that if we have faith the tiny size of a mustard seed, we'd be able to transplant trees. He wants to see just how powerful faith is, even in small doses. That if we are capable of trusting in the Lord, because the ultimate definition of faith is an entrustment of ourselves to God, and because of that entrustment and what God has said and done, if we're capable even of a little entrustment to the Lord is able to do incredible things. He wants to inspire us to make that entrustment. The great examples that we have of those who have followed the Lord along this everlasting way, those who have loved justice, sought the Lord in integrity of heart, and prayed to him in goodness, are the saints. Today we have one of the great ones, St. Martin of Tours. He was a catechumen, followed his dad, who was an officer in the Roman army, into the Roman army, and was stationed in frigid Amiens, France. I was in Amiens, France on January 1st one day, and I can assure you how cold it was, and there was a shivering beggar at the gate, lightly clad, and nobody was caring for him. And as young Martin was making his rounds, he was scandalized by just how many bad Samaritans there were, not lifting a finger to try to help this man who could die of exposure there. So he dismounted his horse, evaginated his lands, as the beggar shivered out of fear, not just cold. But then he cut his kappa, that great Roman kappa, in two and covered the beggar with half of it. Later that night in a dream, Jesus appeared to Martin and said to him, "Martin has covered me with his kappa." And Martin recognized what Jesus had promised, that whatever we do for the least of his brothers and sisters, Jesus takes personally. When he awoke, he wasn't going to waste any time. He immediately requested baptism. After his baptism, he realized he couldn't live by the principles of the Christian faith and the rules of the Roman military. So he resigned. He put himself under the guidance of Saint Hilary of Poitiers, who encouraged him to be a monk, out more or less as a hermit for a decade. But while he was there praying, really thinking of the Lord in goodness of heart, the people of Tours said, "We want you as our bishop." And so he received the sacramental triple crown and was ordained a bishop. From that point forward, he sought to help everybody to grow in faith, to love justice, to pray with goodness, and to seek the Lord in integrity of heart. That required in the 4th century in France fighting against paganism and Christian heresies like Arianism. And he did it with extreme courage. Meant teaching people how to pray and to seek the Lord with all that they've got. And we see the exclamation point on that teaching as he was dying. It's what the church gives us as the office, second lesson today. He didn't care whether he would be taken or left. He just wanted to do the Lord's will. But he was suffering after he had carried out a mission to try to bring mercy to Condes, which there was a dispute among the clergy. He didn't want them to be scandalized or showing people how not to forgive each other, but to become real ministers of mercy. So after he had completed that mission, he let them know that he was dying. As he was suffering with bed sores, as we read, they wanted to flip him over just so that he would be in less pain. And he just asked, "Allow me to stay as I am, looking upward, so that I might be able more easily to see the Lord when he comes." So great was his desire for that everlasting way that he longed for the imminent coming of the way. And Jesus came and embraced him. And St. Martin is praying for us today that we might follow that same eternal path. And the greatest means by which we grow in faith, by which we love justice and do it, think of the Lord in goodness, and seek him with integrity of heart, happens here at Mass. When Jesus speaks to us, imparting to us his wisdom. And when he feeds us, giving us far more than a mustard seed within that is meant to grow so that he might be all in all. And we, as we go out, might have no fear of committing scandal, but in fact giving his example, doing this as he has done for us. Today, through St. Martin's intercession, let us pray for that gift so that we might together follow that everlasting path to where Martin and the saints now rejoice.